The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Today, the government are publishing, and you'll be aware this changes every year, a revised climate action plan. And the focus certainly seems to be on transport in terms of the changes. Motorists could be put under pressure to leave the car at home, with parking spaces and mileage to be cut in a revised plan. Will it have the desired effect? Could it alienate motorists and business owners? So I'm joined now by a panel which includes Professor Brian Caulfield of the School of Engineering and Trinity College Dublin, Councillor Niall Ring from North Inner City here in Dublin, and Oisin Coughlan, the Director of FOE Friends of the Earth Ireland. You're all most welcome. Brian, I understand transport accounts for about 39% of emissions we need by 2030 to get the carbon tonnage down from about 10 to 6 million tonnes. What are the changes being announced today for transport?
So from what I can see in transport, they want to increase public transport usage by 130%, 50% increase in active modes. And the much reported 1 million electric vehicles target seems like it will still be in the plan.
Right. Okay, so what are the actual detailed changes?
I suppose with public transport, to first of all focus on that, 130% increase in that. That seems to me to be, it's very, very, very ambitious and it's huge.
Sorry, it won't happen because the Eamon Ryan says it's to happen. I mean, does it mean discounts? Does it mean more frequency, more capacity for bus and rail? How are they going to do it?
That's how they will do it. Before 2030, there won't be any new rail services, so it will be buses. So buses will be the way in which, if we ever get to that 130%, will be done by bus. I would imagine some of those bus services will be free, better technology to connect people to buses. But, you know, we have about 1,700 buses operating by the NTA in the country at the moment. We would have to order another 1,700 to get to this target by the end of the decade. And there's a big lead time on delivery of those types of services. Yeah, so I'd imagine that's what they'll do in public transport.
I have to say, in fairness now, I take the bus or train from Wexford to Dublin. And since June, you know, the occupancy is greatly increased. It's much more crowded. Tell us about the change in terms of sanctions against the motorists in relation to parking in city centres and maybe road charging.
I would say definitely road charging. If they are to achieve that 130%, I would imagine there will be road user charging within the five cities, I would say, to get to that number. Also, car parking charges would be brought in. And then also it's been mentioned as well, the public sector parking would be charged as well. And perhaps even the Dáil car park might be something that would have to go under this plan.
Right. Okay, let's go to Councillor Niall Ring. What's your take on these changes that as it'll affect Dublin?
Well, obviously, whatever way it affects Dublin would be close to my heart, Ivan. I can't see them delivering 130% increase by 2030. For example, the NTA plan for Metro, Lewis, etc. has been pushed out from 2035 to 2042. It's exactly the same plan. And yet they're saying we've to reduce emissions by 2030. Now, what I do agree with, and I am pro-motorist, Ivan, I'm known to be pro-motorist, but I'm pro the motorist who needs to be going into the city centre, who needs to be, like elderly people, going to hospital appointments, etc. I see in my area, for example, you have the Custom House. Anyone that goes over the Dart or over Butt Bridge can see hundreds of cars parked there. The Department of Education on Talbot Street, Doyle Aaron, as Brian alluded to, civic offices in Dublin City Council, which in fairness to them, they've reduced the number of car parking spaces in it significantly to discourage people from just coming in from wherever, parking there all day, and in fact, not contributing to the business economy, but people going in to do a bit of business, buying Christmas presents, going in at weekends, etc., I would absolutely encourage. Now, there's about 40,000 cars come into the city between 7 and 10 in the morning. To reduce that by 20% would be 8,000. And in fact, that equates to the figure that is fairly well bandied about for the number of free parking spaces that public servants have. So you could immediately get that. But the other thing I would point out, Dublin City Council recently passed its development plan, And in that development plan, we actually want a 40% reduction in private vehicles coming in and out of town. So we're actually, Dublin City Council, as per usual, is leading the way, but we're not getting the backup from the National Transport Authority. And now, of course, the Green Party, through Eamon Ryan, are coming up with all these plans about extra buses, extra this, that and the other, but they're not being delivered. If we can have the public transport options, if they exist, of course people will use them. Build it and they will come, you know. But we have to have a policy of low vehicle use rather than no vehicle use. We can't just hammer motors all the time. Because, for example, if there was congestion charge in Dublin, what would people do? They would go out to Liffey Valley and Blanchardstown for their shopping. Extra distance, extra snarl-ups, extra emissions. So it's sort of contradictory in that sense.
Now, one of the things that you notice everywhere is the reduction of spaces for more active travel. Bike lanes, widened footpaths. Has there been a reduction, and is there proposed to be a further reduction in on-street car parking?
The on-street car parking at the moment is, I think, within the city centre, it's about 8,000. And already we've seen a major reduction, which has had a dramatic impact, and people don't realise it. We lost 400 public parking spaces because of the Cross City Lewis. Now, that has cost in Dublin City Council for the last, what, 8-9 years, 2 million in income a year, and we've never been compensated for that. I brought it up several times in the city council. Reducing, we have to remember that there's about, I think there's, I'm not sure of the number of disabled parking bays, but if you keep reducing, you're doing business, you're doing the businesses in town out of, it's like literally they're living. For example, Capel Street now, which was recently pedestrianised, I was down there in the last few days and I was calling into a few of the shops, and Louis Copeland actually said, I said, how's footfall these days? He said, there's more footfall on the moon. I mean, it's just like when you pedestrianise, it doesn't necessarily mean an increase in business. It means an increase in business for the hospitality sector, of course, and Capel Street looks great, except it's doing damage to...
Yeah, and there's the logistical problem, that if you have both arms full with shopping, it's not so easy to get home on the bike.
Absolutely. And now, there are public car parking spaces, about 10,000 in the multi-storey, but they are expensive. And I know part of the plan is to bring the on-street parking up to that level. But at the moment, a park in town is €350 an hour. And if you keep discouraging it, as I say, people will then say, look, sure, I'll go out to Blanchardstown. That's free parking. Now, Liffey Valley have introduced parking, which has made Blanchardstown even more chaotic, because people are saying, well, I'm not paying in Liffey Valley if I can go to Blanchardstown. So we just have to get a more holistic approach and look at the options that have to exist, and the fact, as you rightly point out, the guy in the car is going to spend a lot more money going into Arnott's or whatever, Cleary's in the old days, buying things than the guy. You're not going to bring home the new television in the basket on the front of your bike.
Okay.
You know?
Oisín Coughlan of FOE, welcome. I'm asking the question, how real is all of this? If you go through agriculture, 25% reduction in greenhouse gases by 2030, it won't happen without a serious reduction in the national herd. Transport, there's not going to be 850,000 EVs by 2030. Retrofit, instead of 3% a year, it's a fraction of that. All these targets and all these plans, is it real?
Well, look, there's no doubt but that it's very challenging, and that's partly because it's taken us this long to get to the starting line. Like, we're trying to do in one decade what we knew we had to do over three decades. So obviously, you know, we're playing a lot of catch up. I think we have to have a plan. We now have binding targets. We haven't gone out of our way. We're in line with EU and US targets. They're not even our fair share of what we should be doing as a rich country, but they are at least the same as our counterparts across Europe and the US. So there's no getting away from the targets. And now the next step is the plan. And yes, the plan is going to look daunting and challenging, although a lot of the changes will actually be positive when we make them. Is it realistic? Look, we need to see two things that Niall said that really struck me. One is about the joined up thinking, say, between the Department of Transport, the City Council and the National Transport Authority. We need to see the people who can deliver these things in the same room, on the same page about how we deliver this, because it is now, once we have this plan, it is all about implementation, and getting this delivered, getting these measures delivered. And my hope is that once we actually do more of these things, we will see the benefits, the immediate benefits they have in terms of cleaner air, less congestion, more pleasant, livable city, for example, in the case of transport, are warmer homes and cleaner air and lower fuel bills in the case of our homes. And we get a virtuous circle going of saying, okay, that climate action stuff, actually, it's not some abstract thing that's about polar bears. It actually is making my daily life better. And we get into a positive cycle of being more ambitious and doing more action. But these are stretch targets, but we have to start and we have to do our best and see how we can get on over the next 3 years. And we need to do the really significant stuff in the next couple of years, because we have our first deadline, so to speak, is between now and 2025, and we're already burning up more of our budget in terms of pollution than we should have. So it is really crucial, does the government, this government, under the new Taoiseach, deliver on these plans in the next 2.5 years?
You actually think we should go further in Dublin City than adjusting the car parking. You actually favour a congestion charge. How would that work?
Well, I would bow to maybe Brian's economic and transport expertise on this, but I certainly think there's a chicken and egg element to this, but we've been talking about this for an awful long time now, and I do think that in the city centre around the canals, that we've seen how this has worked in the UK, in London. Now, I don't think we're ready in other cities yet, but I do think if we did it in Dublin with a lower charge, maybe free for disabled badge holders, a lower charge for electric vehicles, maybe not, but certainly bigger vehicles should be charged going into the city centre to free up road space for cycling and for walking and for buses. But I do think that, and by contrast then, the people who really need EVs are those in rural areas who definitely still depend on EV, on car transport for now, until we have a much better public transport system. We should be focusing our grants and our subsidies for EV purchases on rural areas and having state-backed industry loans for electric cars there. And I also think, Niall mentioned the car parks around Dublin. If to get a level playing field, maybe we need to impose parking charges there too. And we definitely need per kilometre tolling on the M50. I live in South Dublin, in kind of Rathmines. I can go to Limerick, Wexford, Galway using the M50 and pay nothing. Whereas if you live in Tallaght and work in Blanchardstown, you pay every single day. That makes no sense. You should pay for how much of the M50 you use. And if you pay for that, and if you pay for the car parking in the big shopping centres, well, that would be a level playing field between the city centre and suburban shopping.
Brian, the Brian Caulfield of the School of Engineering. So is it just like on the M50, there'd be a big sort of electronic toll that would be all around the canals? Is that the way it would work, a congestion charge?
That would be how it would work, and your license plate will be kind of picked up every time you went over a bridge of the canals into the city centre, and then you would be charged based upon the time of day, and they might have a variable charge. Maybe at weekends it will be less, and then also, as Oisin said, that anybody had a disability badge, they will be exempt perhaps. I wouldn't be in favour of letting EVs in for free, because they take up the same amount of space and they cause congestion too. But that's how it would work. It's how it works in London and any other city that it's been put into.
Now, Brian, taking an overview, I'm sure there's people from rural Ireland listening and scratching their head at all this, insofar as that you take the last mile of a delivery of a parcel or even getting to public transport. There just isn't a public transport option in Donegal or Kerry. I mean, like, do we not need much more support for EVs, charging points and so on in rural Ireland to attract people into electrifying transport?
Definitely. I've done research on this, and it shows that EVs are being sold in leafy Dublin and wealthy parts of Cork and the other cities. We need EVs in rural parts of Ireland. That's where people drive the most. They drive the furthest distances, and where it's perhaps uneconomical and maybe not climate friendly to provide public transport. So that's where we need our EVs. We need a bit more nuance in the EV incentives that are given by government and to put them into rural areas, because that's where we really need them. We don't need them in places of Dublin that you're, you know, you see all these EVs next to people that live near the Lewis and the Dart. That's not where they're required.
Okay, well, there's been a huge text response, 53106. No Uber, no Metro, no Dart Underground, no bus connects, no rail connection from the airport. What a country. Yeah, best place in the world to live, they tell me. Joan, so Ivan, the government ministers recently got a fleet of new cars and free parking. So we tax paying public and leave the roads clear for them. Wonderful planning. Colin says, what about people like me who live in rural Wicklow, who travel to Dublin each day by car because there's no public transport? Why are people like me going to be punished under this plan? Would Neil be encouraged to get a bike now instead of his car? And Lars says, too much hassle to go to Dublin City as is. I now buy 99% of things on Amazon as it is so convenient and no postage costs. Dublin City businesses will close because of this green religion. And it goes on. It's about time city people were forced to change their lifestyle instead of trying to pin all the blame on cows and turf and rural people, says John. It does seem, Neil, that from the texts that, you know, Metro is like death and taxes. It's always in the planning stage and it's never going to happen. Will it ever happen?
Well, as you know, Ivan, and I just listened to the text there. Of course, Lewis Metro, Underground, whatever. The transport strategy for Dublin, which all of this should hang on, has been put out from 2035 to now 2042, 12 years after we're supposed to have reduced our emissions. So it doesn't make any sense to me. But I will say on the congestion charge, how can you possibly say to somebody coming into the city to do a bit of business, to keep people employed, keep businesses going, one, you have to pay as you cross the canal, then you have to pay when you get to a parking spot. That person will say, look, I'll go out to the Dundrums of this world, the Liffey Valleys, the Blanchardstown. And by doing that, they've extra journey, extra emissions, and no benefit to the city. We really have to remember that Dublin is the powerhouse of the Irish economy, and the city centre just has to survive and has to be encouraged to survive. Not this, get your card out of here. It's just, like, I came in through Fairview. By the way, I do go on the bike occasionally, one of the people was saying there, but I came in on the bus this morning, and when I look at the absolute mayhem in Fairview, and where they have, actually, and this is one, a bugbear of mine, Ivan, and I know you'll bear with me. North Strand, because of the 62 million cycle lane on the North Strand, they have taken two bus stops away, which means that my mother, for example, has an extra nearly half kilometre journey. If she goes into town, gets off the bus, she can't get off at North Strand anymore. She has to get off down near the Five Lamps. They've taken two bus stops away. It just flies in the face of any encouragement of people to use buses. The people of North Strand and Ballypock are up in arms over, one, the way they weren't consulted about the cycle lane, and two, taking away bus stops. We're supposed to be encouraging people to get buses, and we take away bus stops.
Final word to you, Oisin.
Look, I think the future for Dublin City is a walkable, livable city that has less traffic in the middle of it. That is where cities around the world is going. Dublin is the powerhouse, as Neil says. London has congestion charges, and it's one of the biggest business cities in the world. I was there recently for the first time in ages. It's amazing how you can cycle on infrastructure there, all the way across Hyde Park, all the way down past Buckingham Palace, all the way down to Big Ben and the London Eye. They give priority to bicycles with proper bike lanes and on the Boris bikes, as they're called. We need that kind of infrastructure here. It's perfectly possible to have a busy, good business city that makes it easy for people to get around without needing their car.
All right, Oisin Coughlan of Friends of the Earth, Professor Brian Caulfield of TCD, and Councillor Neil Ring, thank you one and all.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.